We've got a special episode for you as we welcome the voice of compliance himself, Tom Fox, to the show. I'm your host, Bill Coffin, and this is the Ethicast. Tom Fox is one of the luminaries of the compliance profession. Over the past 15 years, he's been a general counsel, a chief compliance officer, and an independent consultant specializing in anti-corruption, anti-bribery compliance, and international transaction issues. Tom is also the author of the award-winning FCPA Compliance and Ethics blog and a number of books, including the best-selling Lessons Learned on Compliance and Ethics. Known as the voice of compliance and the compliance evangelist, Tom is the founder of the Compliance Podcast Network, where he hosts and produces an astonishing catalog of award-winning ethics and compliance-themed podcasts, including the FCPA Compliance Report. Tom, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. I have really been looking forward to this conversation.
Bill, thrilled to be here with you.
Now, full disclosure to everyone listening, Tom and I have worked together before. And to be honest, I've always been a big fan of his. So if you detect a little bit of excessive enthusiasm in my voice this episode, that might be the reason why. So with that out of the way, let's get started. Tom, you are, I don't know how else to put it, you're the godfather of compliance podcasting. I don't know anybody in this space who's been doing it, more prolifically or for a longer period of time than you. So can you talk about your decision to dive into this medium as a way to continue your work on educating the E&C space and showcasing its thought leaders?
Bill, I moved into podcasting in 2012, and at that point in my career, it was simply a natural extension of my blogging. It seemed to be the next logical step. I had started blogging in 2010 and then just moved into podcasting. The 2017, I founded the Compliance Podcast Network with the idea that I would create a one-stop shop for all compliance professionals to garner information about compliance issues in the podcast format. So the Compliance Podcast Network was formed in 2017 and kind of hummed along on its own. And then it blew up during the pandemic because back then most marketing was done at trade shows, conferences, breakfast roundtables, et cetera. And that became unavailable for a year. And I had the only podcast network in compliance. So I was a beneficiary of all of that.
Something I've noticed when I speak to E&C leaders, especially World's Most Ethical Companies honorees, is that a lot of them are increasingly turning to, or at least considering running their own internal podcast as a way to communicate with employees. For a compliance and ethics officer who's looking to harness the power of podcasting for their own E&C program, what advice do you have for them in terms of getting started and, more importantly, in keeping their podcast going once it's off the ground?
Bill, let me be as clear and direct as I can. Every E&C professional needs a podcast. Yes. If you don't have one, call me. We'll get you one going tomorrow. It is absolutely mandatory in 2024 to utilize the podcast format to communicate as an in-house compliance professional, to build your own personal brand. It is unparalleled in what it will do for you personally. But every internal compliance function needs a podcast. This is how people communicate. Latest statistics show that, let me get this right, 60% of all Americans have listened to a podcast. That's nearly 200 million Americans have listened to a podcast. It is how people are consuming information now. If you're not communicating to your workforce via podcast, you are losing and not using one of the primary tools that is available to you at as little to no cost as you can have. So if you don't have a podcast, start one. If you don't know how to do it, call me. I'll tell you how to do it. And but there's another thing that I want to bring up, Bill, along these lines. And this, I stumbled across this past spring. And it was a company that started an internal podcast. It was not compliance focused, but it was designed to tell employees about their own company. It was a major multinational. And it turned out to have a huge positive impact on corporate culture. And the reason was senior executives whose names were known, obviously, within the corporation, but never seen, were talking to people. And literally for the first time, they heard the CEO speak. They heard the COO speak. and it humanized them in a way nothing else had. Not a town hall, not a, you know, virtual call literally across the world on Zoom or Teams. And so the podcast can actually drive positive corporate culture if utilized well. So the thing to do is, number one, start. Number two, figure out your cadence, how often you're going to release, and stick to that. And if you do that, you will develop a loyal audience within your customer base, who, of course, for compliance professionals, are your fellow employees.
Compliance leaders often talk about storytelling as an important technique for winning hearts and minds. And obviously, it's something that dovetails perfectly with the podcasting format. You and I, we're both storytellers, and we know that this particular skill can be a little tough to develop. Do you have any thoughts or insights on what it really means to be an ethics and compliance storyteller, and how people can build those skills if they feel like they don't already have them in their pocket?
Sure. Every compliance situation that would come up where there is a lesson learned, an opportunity for remediation, an opportunity for professional growth, that's a story. And you don't have to be a Bill Coffin. You don't have to be a Tom Fox. You can be a compliance professional who's gone through some issue and has worked to remediate it. And if you tell that story, that will resonate with your employee base. It will resonate because it's authentic and real. It will resonate because it's a real world example. And it will resonate because hopefully your remediation has been something that the employees can incorporate into their day-to-day business activities or operationalization of compliance on a go-forward basis. So just tell your story. People will listen.
The authenticity quotient in this space is so very high. So I think that, you know, for people who maybe they want to use storytelling, but they're a little afraid to get started, or maybe they have stage fright, I think it's perhaps easier to kind of get involved in that particular discipline in this space than it might be in other spaces.
Absolutely.
You recently authored the report, The Power of a Speak-Up Culture, in partnership with Case IQ. And in that, you lay out this really compelling breakdown for why speak-up culture really matters. Still, a lot of companies, you know, seem to struggle with this. So what's a pain point that you see for companies trying to establish a robust speak-up culture? And what's something that they can do about it?
Well, Bill, Kyle Welch in 2017 wrote the seminal academic review of the benefits of a speak-up culture. And in that, he reported that companies with a true culture of speak up, meaning speak up and listen up, had a material reduction in overall fines and penalties, meaning a 5% reduction, and they had 20% reduction in overall civil litigation costs. And that got a lot of people's attention. I think many of us felt that was true anecdotally, but he really documented it from an academic perspective. And so I've really tried to take that clarion call since that time and talk about it as much as I can. And the benefits that he articulated in his academic paper are still true 7 years later in 2024. It's not just the cost savings, it's the increase in efficiency and ROI if you allow people to speak up, make sure they're not afraid of retaliation, and more importantly, listen to them or listen up. So it's an entire culture. It's not simply having a hotline. And I think many companies are still struggling with the listen up part. We've had, obviously, Sarbanes-Oxley since 2001. We had Dodd-Frank now for over 10 years. We understand the requirements for a hotline, but it's really evolved to much more than that. It's truly a culture of speak up, and it's a culture of listen up and incorporate that information on a go-forward basis.
I love that you're including the listen-up aspect of this. One of the best episodes we've had this year on the Ethicast was with Steve Koslow of Allianz Life. And he had mentioned how they are really focusing on that whole listen-up aspect of it. And it's so empowering for employees because it kind of takes the onus off of them to be the ones who are always surfacing things. It's knowing that, you know, if you're a manager, really, you know, making sure that you've got your antennas tuned to what people are saying is a hugely important thing. So I love how you're talking about the listen up aspect of this.
Well, I don't want to sound like I'm pandering here, but there is a recent Ethisphere report on the 2024 ethical culture where you actually focused on this. And just one key metric I would like to point out was 60% of people said they wanted to or did report to their manager. And obviously that's great, but what that tells us is companies need to give managers the tools and skills to listen up and then report it up the chain. So if you've got 60% of your speak up is going through one source, you need to put resources into that source so that you can expand it and fully utilize it.
Given the breadth and depth of the shows that you host personally, and the shows that you help to produce through the Compliance Podcast Network, you're exposed to an awful lot of professional intelligence in the E&C space. There are some topics like AI, they just get a lot of exposure across the board. But I'm kind of curious, are there any E&C issues that you have noticed that maybe aren't getting as much daylight nowadays, and you kind of wish people would be a little bit more aware of them?
Well, Bill, it's really interesting. Years ago, I would go, when I was in D.C. for the Compliance Week conference, I would go by and see the head of the FCPA unit. And I would always ask, what would you like me to write about? And this was over several unit heads, and they all said the same. You just keep talking about what you're talking about. Keep talking about it. At a conference in April, a person opened her presentation with the following. In 2001, there were five FCPA enforcement actions. How many involved third parties? 100%. In 2023, there were 21 FCPA enforcement actions. How many involved third parties? 100%. So in many ways, it's talking about things we've talked about for a long, long time and continue to talk about. You know, in 2021, the DOJ said, risk assessments are important. Start doing them when your risks change. Well, the second part was new, but risk assessments have always been important. So it's just seems to be that we need to continually remind people about the nuts and bolts of compliance. Just yesterday, I saw an article that said, have you looked at your gift, travel, and entertainment policy? Well, I hadn't thought about, you know, your gift, travel, and entertainment. The DOJ told us in 2007 what to do via an opinion release. And here in 2024, someone was saying, hey, when was the last time you looked at that? So it's really just a reminder of a lot of things that you and I have talked about over the years, and we just need to keep that information fresh and in front of people. Certainly, they're cutting-edge things, AI and data analytics, and those are incredibly important. But the basics of compliance are equally important.
If there is one thing I know about you, it's that you are working on a bunch of different projects at once. So what are you working on now that you're especially excited to talk about and share with people?
Well, every summer from June 1, for the next 79 days, I rerun a series called Trekking Through Compliance, where I look at compliance, leadership, and business ethics through the lens of Star Trek, the original series. And I'm redoing it for 2024. And as my wife said, this is just an excuse for you to rewatch all these, isn't it? I'm like, well, sort of. So that's been a lot of fun because I've really expanded that. The series I'm working on now is 2024 is the 100th anniversary of the death of Franz Kafka. And so I'm working, I was going to do a five-part series on Kafka and compliance, but of course it's grown. So it may end up being a 10-part series, but I'm having a lot of fun with that and rereading some stories that are incredibly prescient around obviously the 20th century and what happened then, but also compliance as well. And then I finished or published in January my third children's book. So I now have the Compliance Kids series, and I'm trying to figure out how I can maybe push that, because multiple people have told me, you know, we use this to train our employees. Mm-hmm. So there's something to the kids book format that seems to resonate with a lot of different people.
That's outstanding. I love it. And you and I have talked before about that kid series you're working on. And I think it's so innovative and it's so fantastic. So really, really excited to hear the third volume is out. Tom, thank you again for joining us and for sharing your insights with us. You're doing so much to advance the ethics and compliance conversation. And I think I could speak for everyone listening when I say that we're all really grateful to you for your efforts.
Well, thank you so much, Bill. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast.
To dive into the deep library of terrific content that Tom produces, visit compliancepodcastnetwork.net, where you'll find an incredible selection of shows to choose from, as well as links to pick up Tom's latest books, including the fifth edition of the Compliance Handbook. And at the risk of being a little self-promotional, while you're there, please be sure to check out the Women in Compliance podcast, where Ethisphere's Erica Salmon Byrne recently had a terrific interview with host Hema Lomax. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business.